T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
It almost seemed like he was doing it for the gram. He was doing it for some clicks.
And Chris Ello.
That was just a miracle of luck. You know it. And you know it.
Let's
go! Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Rivers under center. Hand off to Gordon. Pushes forward. Touchdown! Chargers! Melvin Gordon with a one-yard dive.
Back to throw, Fitzpatrick looking, flips it back, shoulder, caught, touchdown. It's Devontae Parker, what a catch.
He takes the
back shoulder.
He makes the tough catches, the easy ones he drops.
Welcome in San Diego, Tony Gwynn Jr. here at the Intercom Studios alongside Matt Scraby. My partner Chris Ello is in Hawaii. But guess what? He's on the show today, and we couldn't have an opening today without some acknowledgement that the Dolphins have won their first game of the season. Chris, I know that has to make you feel pretty good about your Monday today.
You know, the funny thing is a lot of people think I'd be upset because the Dolphins are supposed to tank the season and, you know, get the number one
draft
pick. But I don't play that stuff. I like to win games, and I'm happy with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He goes out there to play to win games, and I didn't see a whole lot of the game yesterday, but it was nice to hear that they got a win, and especially to beat Adam Gase. That's got to be pretty embarrassing for Adam Gase. I mean, to leave Miami, go to the Jets, and now get beaten by Miami. That situation in New York is probably even worse off than the one in Miami.
Yep, I would tend to agree with you, Chris. A lot going on around sports. Let's get to the weekend whip around.
It's time to get the week started, San Diego.
Aye, aye, sir. Okie dokie.
Did you miss anything over the weekend?
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Gwen and Chris get you caught up on the biggest sports stories of the weekend now. It's the weekend.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
You know, not that weekend.
I love it.
It's the weekend whip around on 97.3 The Fan.
The fight for Steven Strasburg started yesterday. According to Bob Nightingale, agent Scott Boras agreed days ago with the Washington Nationals that they would begin negotiations reworking Steven Strasburg's contract Sunday, which was yesterday. So everybody who, including myself, who has their hopes up that maybe we could see the former Aztec show up as a Padre, may have to put those thoughts on hold.
Yeah, I'd love to see him obviously come to San Diego in a lot of ways, Tony, but in some ways, I think he might be too heavy of a price tag for the Padres at this age and the kind of length of the contract that Strasburg's going to want, which he deserves and he's earned, and he should make as much money as he possibly can, and I think he's smart for becoming a free agent. I don't know that he's a perfect fit for the Padres. I mean, he's fantastic. We love him. It'd be great to see him in San Diego. It would sell some tickets. It would get everybody excited. It would get everybody stop thinking about Jace Tingler and start thinking about, you know, baseball again. But, you know, if he winds up staying in Washington, I think that's the most likely outcome here, the most likely scenario, don't you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, both of us knowing Strasburg, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him want to re-up in his comfort zone. It seems like he's coming to his own there in Washington. He's not the type that would want to change that right away, at least in my opinion.
All right, one of the things I got to see this weekend, Tony, I didn't get to see a whole lot because I was traveling, but I saw your boy, not LeBron James, your boy, not Anthony Davis,
Dwight.
But your boy, Danny Green.
Oh, Danny Green, yeah. He was good, too.
How about that shot that he hit out of the corner on Friday night with time running out to send that game against Dallas to overtime and then the Lakers win? You and I talked about this, that everyone's focused on LeBron, everyone's focused about Davis. These guys are fantastic. But Danny Green was the secret pickup in the Lakers championship formula.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. That was a huge signing for the Lakers. They needed to drastically improve their three-point shooting. They did that by bringing a guy like Danny Green in. But I one-up you. They came back last night against the San Antonio Spurs, a team that was also 3-1. Their only loss also being to the Clippers, and really kind of controlled that game from the tip to the finish. Dwight Howard put on another terrific performance to go alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I tell you what, the injury to Cousins could end up being a blessing in disguise, because they have a guy in Dwight Howard right now who has something to prove in terms of being a good teammate and wanting to do the dirty work. And he's doing it at a very high rate right now. Big reason why the Lakers are 5-1.
Yes, but you know it's all coming to a crashing halt tomorrow night, Tony, when you hit him in Chicago to take on Bulls.
Indeed it could.
That's right.
I think it's your turn. Or is it my turn again?
It's your turn. Okay.
I went with the Lakers again. So
Right. Okay, I'll go with that. I'll go with what I thought was the key college football game of the weekend. We talked about it before I left, and that was Memphis against SMU. If you're an Aztec fan, you needed to pay attention there. Memphis did beat SMU, and that knocks SMU out of the ranks of the unbeaten. And I think it, you know, with all those teams in that particular conference knocking each other off, Rocky Long's not going to want to hear me say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Aztecs might be in control of their own destiny, T. I mean, they might be in a situation right now where if they win their final five games, and I'm telling you, that's not going to be easy, but if they do it and finish 12-1, beat Boise State for the conference title, we could be going to the Cotton Bowl this year. And I'll tell you what, that would be about the most exciting thing to happen to San Diego State football probably ever.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But this is the position we want our Aztecs to be in, where they can control their own destiny. They have a shot. As you said, these last five games won't be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but ultimately they control their own destiny, and that's a good position to be in. Now, whether they can do it or not will remain to be seen. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Randy Moss, during the show that they do in the morning on ESPN, was telling a story about how he was supposed to be in Bristol, Connecticut to do the show, but his pilot had other ideas.
Randy Moss with us here today. Last night, I got word that there was a problem with your plane. You were supposed to come to Bristol, Connecticut, right? That's where ESPN is. And where'd the plane take you, Randy?
Man, I want to give a shout out to everybody in Bristol, Tennessee. I had to call up here. I had an 8 o'clock meeting. Stopped off at my son's last football game of his senior year. The pilot tells me, we have about an hour and 5 hour and 10 minute flight. Cool. I lay back, put my hat over my eyes, lay the visor down. Once we land, I'm looking for the Sheraton, the hotel that connects at Bradley. I said, hey, where are we? He said, we're in Bristol. I said, Bristol?
Oh, man.
Bristol, Tennessee. I'm supposed to be in Bristol, Connecticut. So fans, teams, I'm just glad I'm
You're
here.
Made it.
I thought that was hilarious.
The fact that
he ends up in Bristol, Tennessee, as opposed to Bristol, Connecticut.
I can see Oakland Raider fans saying right now, Randy Moss ran the wrong route again.
Good point.
Because when he played with the Raiders, he didn't run too many right routes, but that is a funny story. That's hilarious. I'll finish up with the Chargers winning at Green Bay last night, and I know it wasn't at Green Bay. I understand they were playing in their home stadium, but I don't believe there were any Charger fans in the stadium. So That was a great road victory for the Chargers. I saw Bill Center tweet that out today. I thought it was a very good tweet, funny tweet by Bill. That was a nice road win for the Chargers. Wherever the game was played, it was pretty important for them to get that win and, you know, stay in contention. But that situation in Los Angeles is getting worse and worse and worse for that football franchise. And I don't care, you know. I mean, I just don't care about them anymore. So, too bad.
Too bad it is. That is our weekend whip around. Chris, we're going to take a break. And I know you're in lovely Hawaii right now, so this break will mean nothing to you because you're already pretty much on break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that Chargers-Packer game. Clearly, the Chargers punched the Packers in the mouth, even though it was basically a home game for the Packers. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Jackson takes the snap. He wants to keep it. Tries to squeeze off right guard and tackle. Pushes his way to the one. Backs in. Touchdown! Lamar Jackson with an unbelievably patient run. And then a burst of power. And the pyrotechnics are firing at the station.
And then there was one.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. One undefeated team left in the National Football League. Did I hear you screaming in the background, Scraby?
You did.
That was me.
That was you. Yeah, I kind of figured maybe the Patriots were about ripe to finally get beat. I wasn't smart enough to pick against them in on our pick'em game, Tony, over the weekend. But Baltimore really put a hurting on them. When you consider they scored 37 points against New England last night, and New England had allowed about, 20 points all season going into the game? I mean, you know, that's a pretty impressive performance. I know that they scored a touchdown on defense, but still, Lamar Jackson he's keeping himself alive in the talk for MVP. I still think Russell Wilson's the leader of the pack. Christian McCaffrey is right there at the tip top. But Lamar Jackson may be the most surprising player in the league this season.
No, that's without question. I mean, he's come a long way from a guy who supposedly couldn't throw to all of a sudden being third on the list of MVPs, at least of the ones that you just named. I saw this coming last night. To me, it was a combination of things. The Patriots had, we've talked about it numerous times, it had a relatively easy schedule. And on top of that, they hadn't really faced a quarterback that could do the same things that Lamar Jackson can. And the third thing is, this offense that they have constructed around Lamar Jackson, if you're not looking at it on film consistently and have actually played against it, you can see how it would cause problems. I mean, Lamar Jackson sticking the ball in the whoever the running back is behind his belly and making that defensive end figure out whether he's going to follow the ball carrier or he's going to stay on the quarterback. And every time it seemed like the Patriots guessed wrong, and even when they guessed right, Lamar Jackson made a play that all kind of just blew the whole thing up in the first place.
Yeah, really, you know, Baltimore, John Harbaugh is the most underrated coach in the NFL.
Yes,
and I'll say that every day of the year because nobody ever thinks of this guy when they talk about top coaches. But there's Baltimore right at the top of the league again, and he's done it for better than a decade. So I give him a lot of credit there in Baltimore. And, you know, look, the Patriots weren't probably good enough for an undefeated season anyway. I don't think the 49ers are either, but, hey, they're still there right now. They're going to have a big one coming up with Seattle next. And the Seattle Seahawks, I was very surprised. I mean, I know they won the game over Tampa Bay, but, again, the second week in a row that the Seahawks defense got shredded, 34 points for Tampa Bay. So, obviously, not all is perfect in Seattle, even though Russell Wilson keeps pulling these games out of the fire.
No, everything's not perfect there, which has made, you know, really what Russell Wilson is doing even more impressive because he's typically been able to manage that offense because the defense played well. Last year, they ran the football a whole lot and relied on their defense. This year, although early on in the season the defense was strong, it seems like, as you mentioned, Chris, the last couple weeks it's kind of got away from them, yet Russell Wilson continues to make plays. They continue to find different ways to put points on the board. And listen, that team, I think, as they get further down the stretch, I think they'll shore up that defensive. It's really the defensive secondary that's been the issue for them. And I guess you could also blame it on the defensive line, because remember, they made the trade for Javon Clowney to come down and be a so that they could just rush the four guys and get to the quarterback. They haven't really done that. He doesn't have a sack, I believe, yet on the season. So clearly there's some things to clean up. But when you have, as you said, the leader in probably the MVP race right now, that can kind of mask some of those issues they have on defense.
Am I the only person who graduated from San Diego State University or living in San Diego that hasn't thought of this following scenario, Tony? The Seattle Seahawks, led by Russell Wilson, make it into the playoffs, get on a roll, reach the Super Bowl, and then before the Super Bowl, Chris Carson comes up with an injury somewhere, and Rashad Penny takes over at running back, and has one magical game in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden San Diego State has the MVP of the NBA Finals, the World Series, and the Super Bowl all in the same year. What do you think?
I don't think you're the only person that went to San Diego State that's been thinking of it, because I certainly have thought of it myself.
You thought of it?
Yeah. I have, and the crazy part is the Super Bowl is like the one like major competition where somebody out of nowhere could win an MVP.
Yeah.
And so it could definitely happen. I've certainly thought, it's crossed my mind a few times since Steven Strasburg won the MVP of the World Series. Then you could have three Aztecs winning the three major sport MVPs, championship MVPs.
That would be just off the charts absurd. And another thing that's off the charts absurd, and we talked about it, was this Charger game yesterday. I didn't get to see a whole lot of it again traveling, but not really a single Charger fan in the house. Chargers nevertheless punched Green Bay out pretty good, 26-11, shut down Aaron Rodgers. This is the kind of performance they've needed for a while. But this franchise, I mean, are the Spanos just blind to everything that's happening right now? Is the NFL blind to everything that's happening right now? I know people would love to see them maybe come back to San Diego. I don't know where they would play in San Diego, but it is clear that Los Angeles does not want this team. It is clear. That has got to be obvious to everybody.
And I guess the question I now have is how much of that really matters, right? Because at this point, it certainly seems like the organization is just waiting out the new stadium whenever that's available. But who's to say that the same things don't start to occur in bigger numbers at the bigger stadium? So
that'll just mean they'll get 60,000 Packer fans the next time they come to town.
Right. So now I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe that's what the weight game is, to see what it looks like there. Because at this point, it doesn't seem like it matters. They've been there for 3 years now, and we've seen the same thing pretty much all 3 years, where teams that don't necessarily travel well seem to have more fans in the Chargers. And then when you get a team that actually does travel well, it looks a lot like it did yesterday in Los Angeles, with a slew of green and yellow throughout the entire concourse and into the stands.
Yeah, forget about it if you're the Chargers. I mean, I feel the only guy that I think is keeping any link alive between San Diego and this franchise is Phillip Rivers. And, you know, Phillip turned to the ground game mostly yesterday, with Gordon and Eckler doing the heavy lifting. Phillip threw for 294 yards, so he had a pretty good ball game. But if it really wasn't for Phillip Rivers, I don't think we would care at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't care at all. I care about Phillip Rivers. But other than that, I think as far as San Diego's concerned, I mean, this is long gone. And if you ever want to think about coming back and seeing us again, we might welcome you back, but we're not thinking about it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the name Fred Mass?
I don't.
He was the Charger spokesperson before they left town, or he was one of the guys that was speaking about whether or not they were going to be staying or going and all that stuff. Well, someone asked him about that yesterday, and he said, quote, "We have a better chance of playing in the swimming pool in my backyard at my house than we do in returning to San Diego."
That sounds about right.
And he went on to say,
well,
this
that might
a
be
sprint.
A better
He went on to say, this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, and so we knew this was going to be an issue. I mean, what else are they going to say?
They have nothing else to say.
Nothing. They can't say anything.
I wish they would play in a swimming pool. That would give the Dolphins a chance to beat them. Tell me, Scrib, you're telling me about one of your friends about the tickets and far as why this is happening, though, and how people are really cashing in on this in the L.A. area or the Southern California area with their tickets because – I mean, people really do want to see teams like the Packers play.
Well, yeah, he has season tickets. He pays $165 per ticket, and yesterday he was able to sell his tickets for $400 a piece. So that's exactly why people aren't going to the games that live in Southern California.
That seizes on the point that no one cares. Because if they genuinely cared about the Chargers and wanted to play, they would go, despite the profit that it could get to sell their tickets. But clearly, that's not the case. They don't necessarily care, and they're willing to take that profit on the tickets. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in Los Angeles that feel that
way. Heck yeah. I was like, take me. He's like, you got $400? Nope. Okay.
So you're clean out of luck then. All right.
He paid for next year's season tickets just on that one ticket.
100%.
All right. So, we got to step away.
Not too bad.
And take a break, pay some bills when we come back. We will have our NFL recap, and that's, of course, done by Chris Allen and myself. So stay tuned. Keep your seatbelt locked in. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. .335, Tony Gwynn Jr. here at the Intercom Studio. Chris Ello out in Hawaii getting ready for some Aztec women basketball. Matt Scravey on the ones and twos. And on a Monday that followed a Sunday, we get into our NFL recap.
What usually follows Sunday?
You know what I meant, you jerk.
Sorry.
All right. I think it's only fitting that our first game that we talk about is the Jets and the Dolphins. Dolphins get their first win of the season, 26-18. And, Chris, you made the point, man. I actually respect that Dolphins team because you're right. Everybody has been clamoring for them to continue to lose every single game they played, but they haven't been trying to lose games. I mean, despite what the roster moves tell us, they actually go out and they try to compete and win. And they finally got one.
Yeah, they did. And the only bad news is the guy who caught two touchdowns, Williams, a wide receiver, got injured and is lost for the season. So,
yes. You
know, it's like if you kind of go in the direction that this franchise is gone, those kinds of things tend to happen to you. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to always be remembered as a gutty quarterback on losing teams.
Yeah.
And there's probably nobody better at it than him. I think the more interesting story is what the Jets do. I mean, it's pretty clear that they made a mistake with Adam Gase. It's pretty clear that the money they spent on Le'Veon Bell, they didn't do enough to surround him. It's starting to become clear that maybe Sam Darnold isn't even the answer. The Jets really have a lot of big-time question marks because they're not trying to lose.
I caution everybody on the Sam Darnold, and it's not because I enjoy some SC football, but I take you back a few years ago when Jeff Goff was the quarterback for the Rams and how bad he looked, how much of a bust everybody said he was. All of a sudden, they had a coach that knows what he's doing, and he's on pace to sign a huge deal if he hasn't already signed that extension that they were talking about earlier in the year.
Yeah, well, the Jets better get a coach who knows what he's doing because they don't have one now.
One last note on that game. The Bengals now control their destiny for the number one overall pick. And Sunday was the first time this season the Jets actually outgained their opponent, picking up 5 more yards than the Dolphins did. Give the Jets a round of applause.
All right, that's all they get.
All right, here we go. Game number two.
Out of the shotgun on first down, fakes the handoff to Burkhead, throws to Edelman at the line, slipped one tackler but won't get far, fumbles the ball, recovered by the Ravens. Marlon Humphrey has it, and he's streaking down the sidelines. He's to the 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens! Marlon Humphrey, Mr. Instant Score, strikes again!
The Patriots are handed their first loss of the season, 37-20. And, Chris, there was just no answer for Lamar Jackson. When they played it right, he made a move that kind of just blew up the whole defensive scheme.
when you got 163 yards passing and one touchdown, and yet you're still dominating the game from the quarterback position, that's telling you something right there. I mean, he rushed for 61 and two touchdowns. Mark Ingram had over 115 yards because the Patriots were so concerned with trying to stop Lamar Jackson. And I agree with you, Tony. That's kind of what set the stage for this Ravens team. Lamar Jackson is easily the winner of the most surprising player in the NFL this year. Very few people thought he could do what he's doing. And this is probably good for the Patriots, you know, to take a loss right about now. Belichick can get everybody focused in again, tell them, hey, you're not all as good as you think you are, that type of thing. So I don't really have any concerns about New England, but I do have to give a lot of credit to the Ravens because this team's a lot better than I thought they'd be this year.
I just want to bring up a point about, you know what, I'll save that point for when we actually get to their game, but just to go over the New England Patriots schedule. Steelers, Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Redskins, Giants, Jets, Browns. Not a lot in there that was going to challenge them. And I guess I guess we could say you could have also foreseen this happening because as good as they are against the pass, number one in all of the NFL, they're only 12th against the rush. And they're going up against the number one rushing team in the Ravens. They handed the ball off, whether it was Johnson, whether it was Ingram, and they really didn't try to run to the outsides. They ran the ball right down their throat up the middle. And that was a game plan, and they walk away victorious, 37-20, the Ravens over the Patriots. All right, let's move
to the old story, right? Keep Tom Brady off the field. I know it's a very much a cliche, but if you can do it, you can beat him.
No, there's no that's exactly right. And as they got the ball in the second half, that's all I could think about was, man, they are just eating up clock after clock after clock.
I know I gave Tom Brady a really hard time last year, called him noodle arm a few times. Tom Brady's the greatest. We all know that. But when he gets hit, he is a below-average quarterback. He is almost a guy who sees ghosts like Sam Darnold. Because he is so afraid, and I don't blame him. But
he would never admit that like Sam Darnold.
No, he wouldn't. But at the same time, he does not look good when they get pressure on him. Anybody. It
doesn't
matter what team
it is. Well, he doesn't bother standing in there to take the hit, though, Scraby.
He just dies.
Because he knows he can live for another day.
Yeah.
He knows he can live for another day. I think it's just him protecting himself at this age. But the key stat in that game, what I just said, 37 minutes time of possession, Baltimore, 22 for New England. That's what won it. And they get two defensive special teams touchdowns. So you get those kind of numbers in most NFL games, the team with the Baltimore numbers is going to win.
Second and goal at the one. Watson out of the gun with Duke Johnson to his right. Two receivers left. Watson throwing right side. He hits Hopkins. Touchdown, Texans.
This game, nobody in the States got to see it.
Boring.
Because it was in London, and it was really early in the morning.
You think it was early in the morning there? How about in Hawaii? It came on right after the late local news on Saturday night.
Well, the Texans would win this game 26-3. Texans go to 6-3. Jaguars to 4-5. Deshaun Watson, we've talked about MVP candidates. Here's another one, 22 of 28 for 201 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. That was complemented by 19 carries, 160 yards by Carlos Hyde. This team right here, this Texan team, I know they've set us up for failure a couple years where they've been really good, get the first round and get beat. But this Deshaun Watson kid is just as good as some of the other MVP candidates we're talking about.
He gives them a chance every Sunday. I agree with that, Tony. He does. And the question is, can they overcome the loss of Watt again?
Yeah.
I mean, they lose J.J. Not J.J. Watt, but
J.J. Watt.
His brother.
Isn't it J.J.?
Sorry?
Which one's his brother?
Wait.
Oh, no, J.J.
Yeah, it's J.J.
They lost J.J.
I'm confused.
I'm confused. You know what I mean.
The Watts. Yeah, I got you.
The Watt that plays for Houston is out for the season again. That's the thing that I do know. And he's obviously a monster of a player, and their defense is inconsistent, and that's the problem right now. They played very well on defense yesterday, but they don't seem to bring that same defense every week, and that'll be the telltale sign for Houston.
Second and goal from the 6. Play action fake. Josh Allen fires into the end zone. Caught by Beasley. Touchdown, Buffalo. Cole Beasley, 3 touchdowns in 3 straight games for him. And the Bills strike first with a 6-yard pass from Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, man. Say what you want about him. He just continues to be on a team that wins games. He does just enough offensively. They win 24-9. I know it's against the Redskins, and the Redskins have now gone 13 consecutive quarters without a touchdown. But it's not Josh Allen's fault who they put on the schedule. He put the team that's in front of him. He's gone out, and he's won 6 out of the 8 games, or helped his team win 6 out of the 8 games. You got to give the young kids some credit, man. This team, it's not the best football to watch on Sunday, but they get W's, Chris.
Yeah, that, and you know, I mentioned John Harbaugh earlier in the show as the most underrated coach in the NFL. I think Sean McDermott in Buffalo is another guy. I think very few people can even name the Buffalo Bills head coach, let alone the fact that he's 6-2 again this year. And I'm not surprised at Josh Allen at all. I've told you all the while, Tony, when I stood on the sidelines and watched him play the Aztecs at Wyoming, this guy can make plays just like the rest of them, just like the Deshaun Watson. He can make plays like Lamar Jackson, maybe not quite to those guys' category, but pretty good. And he ran for another touchdown yesterday as well. So Josh Allen is enough of a force, and the Bills' defense is pretty good.
You had to slip that in there right there, that Josh Allen ran for a touchdown, because we're playing each other in fantasy. You are defeated, and I don't want to be the guy that is going to lose to you.
He said you are defeated.
Frank Gore had...
What do you mean I'm defeated?
You haven't won yet. You haven't won
but
yet.
But I'm winning the game at the moment.
You are, and Frank Gore had 3 straight runs at the 1-inch line and got stuffed, and then your quarterback, Josh Allen, sneaks it in and gets the points. Really not cool.
That does not make up for the fact that I did not know James Conner wasn't going to play yesterday.
Touché.
So I got a goose egg from my top running back.
Touché.
Yeah. So that opened the door for you to beat me and keep my season of winless fantasy football going.
I still haven't won.
Of defeatedness.
Defeatedness could be going, yes.
McCaffrey right up there. Free may score to the 40, to the 30-foot race, 20, to the 10-yard line. Yes, sir, he scores a touchdown.
Chris, while you were dealing with Frank Gore, I was dealing with this guy, McCaffrey. This guy, I'm playing against him. Thomas has him, of course. He played reindeer games all week, not putting a lineup together. And it only irritated me more to watch Christian McCaffrey run amok all over the Titans. They would win this game 30-20. Christian McCaffrey, after 166 yards, 3 TD day, the Panther star is now on track for 2,488 yards from scrimmage, putting him 22 yards off the pace to break Chris Johnson's single season record. This guy has been amazing. And you know what's been good for him is the fact that now that Cam Newton's not in the lineup, they're just straight up handing him the ball. There's no RPOs. There's no, you know, put it in there, see if the defense will bite on the handoff fake. They're just lining up, right, running the ball right down teams' throats. And it really suits his style. I mean, he can do any style, as we've seen the first 2 years. He's been very effective in the NFL. But the matter whether it's RPOs or just the old traditional hand the ball off to the running back, this kid is special.
You know, there's a couple things on Christian McCaffrey. Number one, I was the first guy to be very critical of him when he – remember when he finished up at Stanford and he passed on his bowl game?
I do.
And I thought, man, that's really a lousy thing to do. Well, guess what? It really hasn't cost him at all in the NFL. I think it was a pretty smart thing to do for Christian McCaffrey. Secondly, watching the Panthers play makes me wonder, why do teams even bother practicing all week and looking at film and diagramming plays? Because you know what the Panthers are going to do every single play. They're going to give the ball to him.
Yeah.
And yet these teams don't cover him. They don't guard him. They don't tackle him. They don't line up against him. I mean, you would think, obviously, if it was basketball, you would double-team him. Isn't there a football equivalent to double-teaming him so that they have to give the ball somewhere else? You know what I mean?
You would think so.
It's just crazy. You know he's getting the ball, and he gets 20 yards every play.
Every play. And, I mean, you would think that that is something that you could do, but I guess you can't double-team him out of the backfield. At least when they're running the ball. But when he's coming out of backfield, there should be 2 guys on him. But Nevertheless, yeah, he just
let him make him throw it to one of those wide receivers. Nobody can even name a Carolina wide receiver.
For real. For real.
Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. And the kick is good. He got it. Butker got it. And the Chiefs have won the game in regulation. Harrison Butker, game winner.
Here you go, Buckner, with the game winner from,
I guess so.
From way out. That was a tough loss for the Vikings, man. They actually played, and on the road, they played very well. Unfortunately, Kirk Cousins now 5-27 versus winning teams in his career. This Chiefs team showed me a little bit of, showed me a little something special, right? Because what you've seen from this Chiefs team without perhaps the best quarterback in the league was a head coach that could design a game plan that could still go out and win with the weapons he has. Now, there's still plenty of weapons out there. I don't think weapons has ever really been the issue for the Chiefs, but when you're missing a quarterback who is good, who is as good as Patrick Mahomes is, you would think there would be some drop-off, and there was. But to pull off this win, I know you mentioned Matt Moore is a good backup quarterback. He went out 25 of 35, 275, one touchdown. They ran the ball very well. This was an impressive victory, I thought, for the Chiefs.
I think that, and I totally agree with you on the Kirk Cousins thing. I think that's starting to get into his head a little bit against these good teams, because if you look at his stat line, Tony, he was almost perfect, right? Yeah. 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. But when it comes to needing to make that one play to clinch the game, that one completion to keep Kansas City off the field, that one first down that you've got to do to beat a good team, Kirk Cousins always seems to come up a little short when he's playing against a winning franchise, and that record does not lie.
In the gun. He's going to fake the handoff. He's going to throw the ball down the field. Intercepted, running up the field, and that is Minka Fitzpatrick. 25-30, 35-40. He's got nothing but green. Kiss him goodbye. Minka Fitzpatrick. A 97-yard touchdown return with the interception. How about this?
All right, I need to say this. This was the point I was going to make earlier. Shout out to Mike Tomlin. This team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, after losing Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, they lost a quarter. What's the quarterback that's in there now? Gosh.
Mason Rudolph.
Well, whoever
Rudolph.
They lost Rudolph. Landry Jones,
They lost Mason Rudolph for a week or two after he got concussed. Yet this team is 4-4. They're two games out of first place in that division. And I only say shout out to Mike Tomlin because you constantly hear him being on the hot seat. You constantly hear his job being on the line. Yet when you give him nothing, he can find a way to have a productive team. This team is 4-4. The worst record Mike Tomlin's ever had in his career is 8-8. So, you know, it's not just him. There are a couple championship pedigree coaches out there that are doing a tremendous job with their teams, including the Eagles over there, who are 5-4 after really being decimated by injuries throughout this season. I just got to give a shout out to Mike Tomlin because we don't talk about his ability to coach, and clearly he has it with a team that's, I don't think anybody recognizes right now, that's 4-4. Oh, yeah, did I mention they didn't have their running back either last week? Still got it done.
Yeah, no, I was aware that they didn't have the running back, James Conner. I figured that out about halfway through my fantasy game. But, I agree with you on Mike Tomlin 100%. I'm a big fan. And people waiting for him to get fired are going to wait a long, long time because the Steelers are not stupid. That's one of the reasons they're one of the best franchises in football. And they know a good thing when they have one. They also, a shout out to the Miami Dolphins for handing them Minka Fitzpatrick for nothing right in the middle of the season. The guy's already scored, I think, 3 or 4 touchdowns for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He ran one back to the house yesterday, took a pick to the house, pick 6. All right, let's go to the Raiders game.
From the middle, Carr steps over to the left, still looking for someone to come free, fires back in the end zone. Got it. Touchdown. Hunter Renfrow broke free at the edge. Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow shows why he's so valuable.
Shout out to John Gruden. I mean, his team's been on the road, it seems like, forever. Like, I think this was their second home game of the season. They've been everywhere.
Yeah, did they even know how to get to the stadium yesterday?
That's what I honestly thought about that as I was watching that game yesterday. Like, man, some of those guys are in Oakland for, like, literally the second time all season long and may not remember how to get back to the Coliseum.
I think there were 10 guys that Scott Hansen on NFL Network said yesterday that had never been to the stadium or played in the stadium.
That is crazy. They beat a Lions team that's now 3-4-1. Matthew Stafford, 406 yards, 3 TDs, 1 INT. But Josh Jacobs, the running back, rookie running back out of Alabama, continues to show out well. He's rushed for 740 yards this season, breaking Hall of Famer and San Diegan Marcus Allen's single-season record for a Raider rookie. This team's been impressive, and I think they got a lot of people pulling for him because of Hard Knocks.
And you know, one of the guys that I pull for as much as anybody on that team is the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
I mean, physically, Tony, Scraby should be able to knock this guy off the line of scrimmage, but he gets open, and he always makes the play that you've got to make. And yesterday he won the ball game, 6 catches, 54 yards. And the Lions are just one of these teams that put up these big numbers every week, but they can't come up with the win to get them over the top. They should be better than 3-4-1.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move to our last highlight, the Browns.
Now Switzer comes back left from the jet sweep. They fake the counter right. Ball over the middle, caught by Noah Fant. Fant running hard, runs right through somebody. Fant runs out of a race, and here we go. Fun race, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver!
I think it's safe to say now that Cleveland is not who we thought they were. And I think some of the blame has to go to GM John Dorsey, and here's why. He basically allowed a rookie quarterback in his first year, albeit a pretty good first year, to dictate who was going to be the head coach of this team. Clearly, Freddie Kitchens looks overmatched in terms of being able to manage an entire squad. It's one thing to be the offensive coordinator. It's something different completely to be a head coach. And I think they're paying for it right now. Their roster on paper looks as good as anybody's. And if you gave some of the other head coaches I talked about earlier this same squad, this team wouldn't be sitting at 3-6, Chris. 2-6.
No, not with the talent, not with Nick Chubb and Beckham and Landry and all of these guys. But I told you what was going to happen to this Cleveland team, and that was the fact that they would get into this season and everybody would give them their best shot. Nobody's overlooked the Browns this year. That's why they were able to win 7 games last year, but they're not going to be able to duplicate that this year.
No, they will not. We're going to step away, take a break. Chris versus the Fan is next. Get your calls in, 833-288-0973. Got a pair of tickets to see San Diego State take on Fresno State.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses,
if you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place, we can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
It almost seemed like he was doing it for the gram. He was doing it for some clicks.
And Chris Ello.
That was just a miracle of luck. You know, and you know it.
A miracle of
luck. You know it.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Short show today, 4:04 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr. here. In San Diego, Intercom, Studios, Chris Ello in Hawaii, preparing for some women's Aztec basketball.
I know people are probably, like, jealous about this, but, I mean, as nice as Honolulu is, it has really become commercialized here. I don't know when the last time you were here, Tony. I mean, it is like walking down a street in New York City now. It is so crowded that being back in San Diego in a couple days really doesn't sound too bad to me right about now. Got to be honest with you.
Tahiti, Honolulu.
That's what I'm saying.
And he won San Diego.
I do. Get me home.
Touche.
Get me home. We don't appreciate San Diego enough, man. I mean, some of these places are wonderful to travel to, but I still love San Diego the best.
You know what? I think baseball has made me appreciate it. You know, having to leave for 6 months out of the year. Right. I come back. I'm kind of a hermit. I like to be in the house all day long if possible, but a lot of times the wifey doesn't allow it. All right, let's get to our game in Chris versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the Human Almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, give us the rules.
So you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, you can win. And let me tell you both, I have spent some time on these questions over the weekend.
Which means there'll probably be multiple mess-ups.
Here we go. That is not true.
First question and first contestant goes to Mark and El Cajon. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, guys. How we doing?
There will be multiple mess-ups.
Yeah, usually there is. So let's find out how much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Effort he put in his first question. Prior to the college football playoff system, what did college football use to determine who plays in the national championship game?
Great question.
Yeah.
Looking at the coaches' poll, number one and number two, I guess, is what Scraby's looking for.
Coaches' poll, number one, number two, is incorrect. Chris.
Yeah, I'm a little confused here.
I knew you would be.
I'm assuming this is what it was before the BCS college football playoff, right?
That is correct. That is the answer he is looking for.
Okay.
All right.
The BCS is what I think. But it sounds like everybody was confused on this question, Scraby.
I mean, prior to the call, I don't want to reread it because I don't think it's very confusing. But if you want to give him another one, let's go for it.
Mark, we're going to keep you on. Let's do another one.
Attaboy.
What is the official sponsor of NASCAR's top level? To be clear, we're looking for a sponsor.
Nationwide. But that's all coming to mind.
Nationwide is on your side. That is incorrect. It's not on your side this time. Chris, for the steal.
I don't know. Do they call it the Sprint Cup just because it's fast or is it because it's sponsored by Sprint? I'll say Sprint.
Sprint is also incorrect. Mark, you'll stay on the line and get to the next round. The correct answer is Monster. The drink.
Is that right?
Monster yes. Energy.
Monster
Energy. Snuck in there, huh?
I mean, if you watch any Sunday night football game, you're going to see it.
By the way, Mark, I thought the Nationwide was a terrific choice. I
yeah, that
I
was a really good answer.
I think Nationwide is their second level. Anyway.
Is it? Yeah.
You got it right. It doesn't matter.
Here we go.
We're huge NASCAR fans in San Diego, as we all know.
It certainly seems like it. Question number two. What college football team did the Miami Hurricanes lose to in the 2002 National Championship game?
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
The Ohio State Buckeyes is correct. Nice work, Mark. You are on to round number three for a chance at those pair tickets to see the number 24 ranked San Diego State Aztecs take on Fresno State. Here we go. Question number three. What active quarterback in the NFL has the record for most pass attempts in one season? Active quarterback.
Go with Mr. Drew Brees.
Mr. Drew Brees is incorrect.
Stay there.
Chris for the steal.
Drew Brees, man, you couldn't ask for a better question than that. What is it again? Most pass attempts in one season?
Yes. Active quarterback.
I love the sigh.
I have no idea. Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is also incorrect.
Wow.
Mark, hang on the line. You are the winner. You're going to get the pair of tickets to see the Aztec take on the Bulldogs of Fresno State.
There you go, Mark.
The correct answer?
Thanks, guys.
Matthew Stafford with 727 in 2012.
727?
Isn't that nuts right there?
That's crazy.
It's crazy that they hasn't been broken. I mean, as much as they throw the football around now.
I'm surprised Matt Stafford hasn't broken his own record. All he does is throw.
All right.
They don't even have a running back on that roster since Barry Sanders left.
Well, they had Kerryon Johnson doing well this year, but he went out with a season.
Hey, J.D. McKissick looks pretty good now.
Who's that?
J.D. Whatever. McKissick.
Was he a 49er?
I'm telling you guys, it's the most incredible record in all of sports is the passing record that Norm Van Brocklin holds. Most passing yardage in one NFL game. Set in 1951. Hey,
how many?
Can play that all you want. That just underscores my point here, that in this day and age of throwing the football around.
How many pass attempts was it?
No, he didn't have the most attempts. He had the most yardage in a game.
How many yards was it?
554. Nobody's ever broken that record still to this day.
That is pretty
crazy. That's unbelievable.
I don't think anybody's going to break that record.
Really? They've come
close.
Well,
you don't? I mean, these guys throw for 500 yards now. It happens. I think it's happened 15 times, something like that in the NFL. But nobody's ever been able to catch Van Brocklin's record. And you would just think that, in some of these shootout games, you'd have somebody get a 600-yard game somewhere along the line.
Right. The fact that it wasn't broken in that Rams Chiefs game last year.
That's right.
I can't even see anything happening like more than that. That was crazy watching that game.
Yeah, I wonder what the total passing yardage was in that game. I don't remember last year, but I think they were both over 450, something like that. So, but yeah, the fact that Van Brocklin's record has stood since 1951, you can turn back time and make fun of me all you want, Scraby. It is still one of the most amazing records in all of sports, and it doesn't get the attention it deserves.
No, it does not. You want to take us a break, Chris?
So what's that?
I said, do you want to take us a break?
Yes, I'd love to take us to break on that. For Norm Van Brocklin, for Matt Scraby, for Tony Gwynn Jr. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Padres baseball. And everybody wants to know, will Steven Strasburg will be pitching again in San Diego? We'll give you our thoughts on it when we return. First, a check of that San Diego traffic, which I'm sure is tough, but not as tough as it is here in Honolulu.
.418, Tony Gwynn Jr. here in San Diego. Chris Ello out in Hawaii. Matt Scraby's doing weird things, as usual.
I didn't realize you were looking at me.
And it doesn't matter where he is, he's doing weird things.
Chris, why can't we have the hidden camera in here? Just so we can see, so everybody can see some of the weird stuff Scraby does.
I love this bed. I was rocking out.
All right, Chris, you got an email today for us.
Yeah, we got our email of the day protected by Mimecast, and it comes from Ben in Imperial Beach. Ben wants to know, is Steven Strasburg going to be a Padre? And, Ben, funny you should ask, because we're going to discuss that here in this upcoming segment, but we want to remind you that Mimecast is a global cloud cybersecurity provider. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. Go to Mimecast.com today. This is very important in this day and age. Mimecast.com. So let's try to answer that question a little bit, Tony, as we take a look at the fact that, first of all, congrats to Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
Who was named one of the finalists today for the National League Rookie of the Year Award. I think that really, I mean, we know Pete Alonso is going to get it, and he deserves it. Mike Soroka is the other finalist, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. But to give in a year when you had so many guys in the National League that had great seasons, and obviously Tatis was one of them, but misses the last 50 games, and still is a finalist, I think that's really a feather in his cap, and it really shows you what the people in baseball thought of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we would be sitting here having a full-fledged, full-throated argument had Fernando Tatis Jr. stayed healthy. I don't think there'd be any question that he'd be right in the thick of this this race for the award. So not a surprise to see him there. Even with him missing the time, you couldn't name me a third better rookie than him, I don't think, that had an impact on his team. So absolutely congratulations to Fernando Tatis Jr. in his pursuit of this Rookie of the Year. Now, the Padres made some roster moves today. As we told you last week, the Padres are trying to create space on that 40-man. Currently, I think when we last talked, where were they left at, 47, 48?
I think so, yeah.
So today they reinstated FTJ, otherwise known as Fernando Tatis Jr., Franchi Cordero, Jose Castillo, Adrian Morjon, Miguel Diaz, and Ian Kinsler from the 60-day DL. They outrighted Seth Mejia's Breen, and they designated Jacob Nix and Eric Yardley. So those two spots now become available for the Padres. Now I think the number's at 45 guys. And additionally, Carl Edwards Jr. cleared waivers, elected free agency. I stand correct. The Padres 40-man roster now stands at 40.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. So they're good.
They're good. They're good in terms of not having a glutton of players on their 40-man roster. Excuse me.
The question now becomes, is are they going to have 41 in the next few weeks by signing one Steven Strasburg? And we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I think it certainly bears a little deeper discussion, Tony. I mean, you know, one of San Diego's favorite sons coming home, finishing his career in San Diego, being the leader, being the ace, being the guy that eats up the innings. I mean, doing every single thing that this Padre, you know, franchise, every single thing that this Padre pitching staff needs, Steven Strasburg seems like he would provide. And I think the people who listen to our show know that there's no bigger fans than Steven Strasburg than Tony or I. But I just don't know that it's the right fit, and I don't know that they would be able to get him for a fair amount of money. I think he's just he has blossomed himself into such a huge money-earning position that I just will be very surprised if Ron Fowler and Peter Seither step up again after having spent over $400 million the last couple years.
If you're saying fit in terms of cash money, yeah, he might have priced himself out with the way he's pitched in the playoffs, although I did see a report from Kevin Acey that the Padres will go after Steven Strasburg should they get a chance. But I think other than that, you know, kind of big problem. he would be a big.
That's like saying you and I have a smooth talk show if it wasn't for Scraby. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of a big problem there.
You're right. I mean, he would definitely be earning some cheese. There's no doubt about it. But he would be a perfect fit in terms of baseball. He would be perfect. Here's you know, because the Padres have multiple needs to fill. How about this one? Didi Gregorius doesn't get a qualifying offer from the Yankees, which makes him a free agent. This guy played some good baseball, came into his own as a Yankee. Maybe a way the Padres may want to look in that direction. He's been in the National League West before as a Diamondback. This wouldn't be something that's unfamiliar to him, but it's going to be interesting to see over these next few weeks who is going to be a free agent, who's going to be a bargain, because there will be some guys that get non-tendered here in the next few days that don't get offered contracts as well. So that's what makes this offseason the difficult part, really, for AJ Preller, as we mentioned, starts now. He's got the manager now. Yeah. The roster is the next thing that has to be addressed.
Let me ask you about another former postseason award winner who's a pitcher, who's from San Diego, who's a free agent, and that's Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
Now, this is a I mean, is that a name that would be interesting? He would obviously, I don't think we'd have to put that money situation in. He's going to make a lot of money, of course. But I don't think money would be the big issue there. Cole Hamels is a leader. Cole Hamels is normally an innings eater. I know he had some injury problems last year, but Strasburg has had some in the past as well.
Yeah.
And Cole Hamels pitched pretty good baseball last season.
He did.
He didn't get a lot of support when he was with the Cubs. I know that. Is that a name that you would consider as kind of a fallback to the Strasburg position?
In terms of adding to the rotation, yeah, that's definitely a name. I wouldn't consider Cole a frontline starter at this point in his career, but certainly in terms of, you know, some of that a vet being in that rotation, somebody you can count on. He was pretty durable last year. I don't think he missed very many starts. Had, as you said, Chris, put together a pretty good season for him. He's certainly a guy you got to look at. The Padres just really shouldn't be anybody that they are completely just shunning at this point. There's some things that have to be done. And I say that in a respectful way. Like, Cole Hamels pitched 141 innings last year, 3.81 ERA with the Cubs. I say that from the standpoint of clearly this, if competing in 2020, 2021 is the key, unless you get a big step up from some of the younger guys, which is obviously something that can happen, it would be hard to count on it, though. And that's why I would say they have to address some of the issues on their roster in terms of depth and guys who can be everyday guys.
Well, I just brought that up because there's a lot more names out there other than Steven Strasburg. There's a ton of free agents this year. So, Padre fans, just, stay on top of this thing because it's going to be wide open and crazy.
No doubt about it. Chris, enjoy the rest of your night in Hawaii. We'll be back tomorrow. Monday Night Football follows Cowboys Giants. You guys have a good night. Enjoy the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.